and then notice some nuances in the way the mitzvah is described in the Torah, in the beginning of Parashas Kisavo, and then see how that extends to Sukkot. There is a right now we're still before Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. Sukkot is very far away, but there is a notion according to Shmuel Shalom Vedarshim Bofas Achad Kodem Achad Shloshim Yom, and it's very much connected to this parsha of Bikurim as the way we're going to analyze it, and we'll see that there are some very important components about the mitzvah of Simcha and Sukkot that are relevant to us in our personal avodas Hashem. Perech Avav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. After we bring the Bikurim, as described in the Torah says, V'samachta v'chol atov, Hashem osa nofa, Hashem lokefu v'sefa, atov alivi v'ager asher b'karbecha. Now the way I would have read the Pasuk, Pashas of the Pasuk is, you shall rejoice, which sounds like an imperative of Simcha, with everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. However, Rashi, based on the Gemara Psachim Alam Avav HaMabez, doesn't learn that way. We'll take a look at the Rashi, compare this formulation to Parshas Re'eh, and see where it takes us. Says Rashi, Mikan Amru, Ein Kar Mikra Bikurim El Bizman Simcha Me'atzeres Va'ad Achad. Rashi understands, based on one opinion in the Gemara, in Psachim, that there isn't a chiyuv of Simcha per se of Bikurim. There's no mitzvah of Simcha. However, even though there's no mitzvah of Simcha, at the same time, there is, the Torah is giving us a calendaric calculation, that the chiyuv of Bikurim is between Pesach and Sukkot. Why? Because, or Shavuos and Sukkot. Why? Because that's the time that people are bringing in their fruits from the field. That's the time that people are generally besimcha. But there isn't a chiyuv, it seems from Rashi, that there isn't a chiyuv of simcha per se. So Sifsei Chacham immediately jumps on this, and he says, why did Rashi not understand this way? Al-Pi Chazal says that you have a little bit of it in the Iker Sifsei Chacham, and elaborates, the real Sifsei Chacham elaborates more, but we'll just use what we have in front of us. Os Katan Ches, ki below ze lo shayach bibikurim v'samachta b'chol atov, Kivin the Bikurim Iskesh L'Truma, V'Asurim L'Zarim. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, could there really be a mitzvah of Simcha? At the end of the day, Bikurim is also L'Zarim. The Kohanim eat it. So you're bringing it, you're going to have mitzvah of Simcha. What Simcha do you have? What's the classic paradigm of Simcha in bringing something to Yerushalayim? What's that? Eating. Let's take a look. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, Yishtel Tzu, as they say, he relates this to Parshas Re'eh, Perik Yud-Beis, Pasuk Yud-Beis, by the mitzvah of Maaser. So points out the Sifsei Chachamim, so there when it comes to Maaser, Perik Yud-Beis, Pasuk Yud-Beis, or Re'eh, so there, by Maaser Sheni, Usmachtem Lufnei Hashem Elokeichem, you shall rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Uvneichem Uvnoseichem, Vavdechem Vamoseichem, Valevi Asher B'Shareichem, Kein Lo Chelek Pinachlo Itchem. So Sifsei Chachamim learns the following. When it comes to Meiser, so then you Meiser Sheini, when you're eating, so then that's the classic paradigm of Simcha, like Simchas Yomtev. Simchas Yomtev is described by the Gemara in Pesachim through Achil and Shtia. However, over here, based on the Gemara in Pesachim, the Samachta is not telling you a mitzvah of Simcha, but it's a calendaric calculation of when you're supposed to do Bikurim. Based on this, the Sifsei Chachamim is Medayik. That explains the Hemshech of Rashi as well. What does Rashi go on to say by us in Parshas Kisavo? Rashi goes on to say, Ata Levi, Afa Levi Chai B'Bikurim. The Levi is also Chai B'Bikurim. Hager Asher B'Kareh, Becha, it's coming to be Marbe Ger that he has Havo, but he's not Koreh, because a Ger cannot say, Lavo Seinu, because his forefathers were not the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So what do we see from here? Says the Sifsei Chachamim, Rashi goes out of his way not to explain the Levi and the Ger as being part of the Simcha. Yet, when we look at Parshas Re'eh, the mitzvah Maaser Sheni is to share with all those people in Parshas Re'eh. Who are those? Your son, your daughter, your Eved, your The Amma, the Levi Asher B'Shareichem, so there Rashi doesn't come along and say, it's coming to be married with this halacha and Meiser, it's coming to be married with that halacha. Why? Because when it comes to Bikurim, there is no idea of giving food to somebody else, sharing your simcha with somebody else. But rather, over there, when it comes to Bikurim, it must be coming to tell us some prate halachos, a prat halacha of ger, and a prat halacha in regards to the Levi. So what we see over here is that when it comes to the mitzvah of simcha, we generally associate the mitzvah of simcha specifically to Meiser and Achila, and not when it comes to Bikurim. Based on this, I think we could also explain another component. That's why, when it comes to Maser, in Pasuk Yubeis and Re'eh, there it says, B'ne'echam uv'noseichem, there the family is added. If we take a look in the Gemara in Pesachim, which is the Makar for Simchas Yom Tov, so there the Gemara in Pesachim immediately starts out on Kuf Tesem Beis and says, what Simchas Yom Tov? For a man it's to eat basar and drink wine. For a woman it's to buy her big day tzivonim. Immediately the Gemara begins to describe on the mitzvah that a father has in his house, what a male has in his house. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of Bikurim, there is no mitzvah chiyuvis of simcha, and then in such a case, we don't have this expression of b'neichem uvnoseichem. But I want to be mosif one other point. And that is, it's interesting, the Sifsei Chacham doesn't stop at this, it's interesting that Parshas Re'eh, how is Simcha described? There it's described as Usmachtem in the plural. Parshas Kisavo, there it's in the singular, Visamachta. Why is it that in Parshas Re'eh it's described in the plural, and in Parshas Kisavo it's described in the singular? What's the difference between the two? So what's the difference between the two? Yeah, can you turn it on? Thank you. What's the difference between the two? Why is that one's in the plural and the other is in the singular? So, one expression that one could use to describe the mitzvah of Bikurim, I'd like to be essentially be mechadesh, is that Bikurim in of itself, as we see from the Rashi, just putting one and one together, is that the mitzvah of Bikurim is a mitzvah not of simcha, but it's a mitzvah of hodah. It's hodah. It's realizing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us and thanking Him for it. Maaser Sheni has the mitzvah of Simcha. If that's true, the Bikurim is about Hodah, and the Samachta is just telling us that the time to be Moda HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the time that people are generally the Simcha. So then there's a famous Avudram. The Avudram writes, why is it that when it comes to Chazar Sashatz, or Yotzei, Amen. And that's it. We say Amen, and then we yotzei the mitzvah of Chazar Sashatz. Yet there's one thing that we say, and that is Modim Derabbanan. Why can we just say Amen to Modim of the Chazan? Says the Avudram, Yisod Gadol, very, very important Yisod. And that is that when it comes to Hoda'ah, when it comes to thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or for that matter, when it comes to Hakaras HaTov in general, a shliach doesn't work. Shliach doesn't work. Hakaras HaTov has to, it's a mitzvah shebegufo in Lamdusha terminology. It's something that a person has to do himself. You can't send someone else to say thank you to your parents for everything that you've done to them. You can't try to say thank you to your wife in a backhanded way. It has to be done with a clear association between the two personalities. The two personalities are coming together entirely. So while we're talking about the mitzvah simcha of Meiser Sheni, so over there, there's a klaliyistika chiyuv. Usmachtem, everybody's included in that general chiyuv. Usmachtem, you in general. You're all going to have the chiyuv of simcha, and be sure that your chiyuv simcha also involves b'neichem, noseichem, avdeichem, amoseichem. But it's the same chiyuv. Everybody has the same basar v'yayin. The women have the same begadim, which is really strange. What's Chazal's obsession with basar and yayin and women's clothing? You have to get to that. That's when it comes to Maaser Sheni and Yom Tov. But when it comes to Bikurim, there everybody is different. Every single one of us, Kishen Shapratsufe Shaladam Shona, just like every one of our faces are different, every one of us have a different component of Hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single one of us has something else to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Every one of us has gone through a different experience that demands Hodah. So that's why, according to the Sifsei Chachamim's Lamdus and Rashi, we can understand as well why the Lashon by Meiser Sheni is in the plural, while it comes to the Bikurim, it is in the singular. When does the mitzvah Bikurim end, according to Rashi, in its state of Lechatchila? Sukkos. In a few weeks from now. Sukkos is when it ends. After Sukkos, so then the person can no longer be Koreh. I don't think that it's a coincidence that Sukkos falls out at the last moment of Havas Bikurim. Why? There is a very, very, very important yisod. You know, whenever we talk about Simcha, which is what we'll try to talk about a little bit tonight, it's a very, very amorphic notion. It's a hard idea to categorize. You know, Rabbeim in Shana Aleph all the time speak that you have to be besimcha. No one really knows exactly what they mean. Something that's very, very hard to be magic. What does it mean to be besimcha? But one thing I think is pashut, and that is that simcha does not mean something that is external. Just like all of us intuitively understand that a bottle of whiskey doesn't make a person besimcha, external experiences, external factors are not the source of simcha. Simcha has to start with him. It has to start inside. What's the first step of being the simcha? The first step is realizing that everything we have, everything that our wives are for us, everything that our parents are for us, hodah is the first step. So simchas sukkis, which is the paradigm of simcha, l'niyas daiti in the Torah, Zman Simcha Seinu, the ultimate expression of Simcha, begins at the moment that Hoda'ah concludes. A person can only be the Simcha when he's reached the point that he understands what he has to be happy with. So a Nigun is not going to be enough, a L'chaim is not going to be enough. It's very, Nigunim are important, I have nothing against a nominal L'chaim. But at the end of the day, the Kiddush clubs drive me crazy. When I was in Manhattan, I was assistant rabbi for a short time on the West Side. So, but at the end of the day, it has to come mibifnim. So now, Be'ezer Hashem, let's take a look and try to understand b'magdir what the simcha is about through the paradigm of Sukkos. But as a way of introduction, let's say over the beautiful yisod that. Many ways, the miyaseid of this makom, you are all familiar with, maybe not in the context, what the Rav presented, one of his most famous ideas, as a way of formulating what is the mitzvah of Simcha of Sukkos. The Rav pointed out that there is a Gemara in Moikot and Daf Yudalit on the base in the context of Avelus that doesn't seem to make any sense. When it comes to Regal and Avelus, the Gemara uses the expression, if you have Avelus and Yom Tov that collide, so the Asei de Rabim, the mitzvah of Yom Tov, comes along, and it's Doche, the Avelus of the Yachid. The Rav said, halachically, that statement of the Gemara doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Why? What's the stira? Why can an Avel have Simchas Yom Tov? What's Simchas Yom Tov? The Gemara in Pesachim said, meat and wine. So if it's meat and wine, so then, let the Avel have meat and wine. There's nowhere, you look through, you do a CD-ROM search in Hilchas Avelus, you won't see any Yisra of Basar V'yayim. So what's the Asi Asei D'Ram, V'dachi Asei D'Yachid? Rav Yashar Ber said the most beautiful Yisod that is so, so important in looking at all mitzvahs. Rav Yashar Ber taught us that no. There are two components to a mitzvah. There's the Pu'ula and there's the Kiyum. The pu'ula of the mitzvah of Avelus is one thing. He doesn't sit on a chair and so on. But that's not the kiyum of the mitzvah. The kiyum is the Avelus Shebelev. Yom Tov also has the pu'ula. The pu'ulas are basar v'yayin. Again, we still don't know why Chazal were obsessed with the Basav Yayin part, but the Pu'ula is a Basav Yayin. And the Kiyum is the Simcha B'Leiv. So the Stira is not in the Halacha. The Stira is not in the Halacha. And whoever thought that the Rav wasn't a Chassid, this is one of the greatest riots that the Rav had a very, very strong Chassidish streak to him. And not all Litvish Rosh Yeshiva spoke like this. The Pu'ula is the Basav Yayin. But the Kiyum is in the lathe. The Kiyum is in the lathe. The Chagav of Sternbuch has a very similar yisod in the Mu'adim Uzmanim, but he doesn't finish off the way the Rav finishes off. He has a very similar mahalik, but he doesn't say it the way the Rav said. He doesn't say that's in the lathe. The Pu'ula is the Basav Yayin, the Kiyum is the Simcha B'Lev. The Pu'ula is the Avelus, but the Kiyum is in the heart. So the Seer is in the heart. It can't be that in the heart of one person could be both in Bebchinas Avelus and Bebchinas Yom Tov at the same time. Hayotze Midvarenu. Hayotze Meyesod Shulvi Meidlanu. So what emerges now is that the Iker focus of Simcha, when we're discussing Simcha, is that Simcha B'Leif. The Pu'ulos are just a Hechi Timsa to that Simcha. So, let's begin to take a look at Simcha Sachag. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, in a beautiful Shmuz, which is recorded in the Sefer Zohav Mishiva, a beautiful, beautiful Shmuz, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro broke down Mitzvahs Simchas Sukkis into four different categories. And we'll see, Be'ezer Hashem, that these four different categories, every single one of them, will be relevant to our own personal growth. What we're going to say are not Fidushim, they're Dvarim Shutim. But Dvarim Shutim, Tunim Chizuk, those things that are simplest are the ones that need the most Chizuk. The first Madrega of Simcha on Yom Tov, of course, is described in the Gemara Misachim. Why does the Gemara emphasize over there Basav Yayin and women to have big dates of Amin? So Lanias Daiti, I think that what the Gemara is trying to emphasize is that there isn't one size fits all when it comes to Simcha. The Gemara is telling us that different types of people, and that is the men who come from Mars and the women who come from Venus, so they need different types of Simcha. And if you look in the Achronim, you'll see, Rav Moshe Sternbuch also in the Mu'adim Uzmanim brings it out, that most Achronim seem to hold that Basar V'yayin is not a ma'ake for Simchas Yom Tov. Well, now, what's that demanding of us? What that demands of us is something that's very, very deep. It's so easy to go through Avodas Hashem by looking at a Sif and Shulchan Aruch and saying, okay, this is what I have to do, and I'm Yotze D'Chiyuv. But once Chazal formulated in contrasting how men have perceived Simcha and experience Simcha, and how women perceive and experience Simcha, in such contrasting ways, Chazal were emphasizing that every single one of us, all of us here, has a different knetch in our Simcha. Every single one of us has to dig deep inside and understand what it is that is misameach me in Avodas Hashem. That's why I feel very strongly, I have to throw in this editorial comment, any yeshiva that makes a Talmud feel uncomfortable in opening any sefer that's not kfira is a yeshiva that's not doing its job. Whether it be chasidus, snagdus, bresel, any yeshiva that does that is stifling this growth of simcha, which is, and how does this week's parasha conclude? Rav Nemtzel said this week at my son's bris, he said the contrast of bikurim by Parshas Kisavo is concluded with Tachas Hashem Lo Ata Hashem Lekecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leva. In Chas V'Chalila we don't internalize these messages of Simcha, so then ultimately that brings about the Tochacha. This is the key. This is the key to Avodas Hashem. And the first component, the most basic component, the Basav Yayin versus Big Day Tzivonim, are trying to bring out the idea that every individual has to dig deep inside and look inside ourselves. And let's be frank, we come from an institution that sometimes we don't, that's not encouraged. That we have to look deep inside of ourselves and understand ourselves and what is misameach ourselves in Avodas Hashem. I'll give you an example, just a very practical example. It was only after I had been in Hask for a couple of summers and I saw the Talmidim coming back with the Sefer and the Siva Shalom that I ever opened up the Sefer and Siva Shalom. It came from the Talmidim who were coming back from Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is, I probably would have felt a little bit uncomfortable in the YU based Medrash opening up that Sefer. Probably now, Baruch Hashem, no longer. But I saw that Sefer spoke to. It was Chassidus that was Lamais that spoke to the Avodas Hashem of Talmidim. And ever since then, I've been learning it with Talmidim. It's a beautiful, beautiful Sefer. So what I'm trying to bring out is the idea, there's no question that I think that Brisker Lamdus helps concretize Chassidus Torah as well. Especially the Torah that comes from Kutz, from Engur, and so on. They're all based on the same Lamdus categorization. But we have to have a certain amount of breath to realize that there's something that's going to speak to one Talmud and something else that's going to speak to another Talmud. And for ourselves as well, that we have to have a certain honesty with ourselves, not to just be simply learning the way somebody else is learning because that's how they learn, but rather because this is what is part of my Avodas Hashem. But Chazal are also bringing out a Yisod that's even much more important than the previous one. Because if somebody doesn't internalize the previous Yisod, okay, so he won't reach his potential in Simcha and Avodas Hashem. It's not great, but it's not so terrible. But the next lesson they're bringing out, Chazal Chalil, if they don't internalize that, so then they'll end up divorced. And that is the idea that men need different things than women need. And that means that if women appreciate clothing and we don't appreciate clothing, that means that we have to spend a lot of time trying to think about what it is that our spouses need. Now there's, I can't say the name, you know him. There's a well-known Gadol v'Torah whose wife was once speaking with one of my wife's friends. And the wife was complaining that her husband doesn't buy gifts. So she said, "Oh, my husband's also terrible with that. So my husband's also terrible." She said, "In our home, where I come from," the woman said, "we used to buy Mother's Day, Father's Day gifts." And this well-known Gadol v'Torah, whose father was one of the most famous Poskei Hador of the previous generation, so they don't buy Mother's Day and Father's Day gifts. So when one time, My husband came home on Mother's Day and he didn't buy me anything. And I bought him something on Father's Day. And then he sheepishly turned to me, "Oh, in my house we don't do this." So she said, "You know what I did the next Mother's Day?" So next Mother's Day, she said, "I went to the store and I bought myself a dress. And then I went home and I gave it to my husband and said, 'Give me a gift.'" And so the kids saw me go over to husband and give a gift. So the kids used to call that gift, that dress, they called it Daddy's dress. So one time she said they were in a yeshiva. They were in the lunchroom, and one of the kids walked in, and one of the girls walked in, and she said, "Oh, Mommy's wearing Daddy's dress." Now, the reason why I tell this story is I wanted to show you. It's not for the punchline so much. What I want to tell you is because when it comes to giving gifts, it's not something that's natural, not even to Gedolei Torah. Another one of our Rabbeim's Rebbetzins once told me that she was away for her birthday. She wasn't home. So she left. She had to be away. So she left on her husband's pillow a note, and it said, "Honey, you forgot again." She left it 2 days before. She knew that he was going to already forget her birthday. The point here being is that so many of us, so many great people fall short because it's not b'teva. It's not something that we do naturally. And even when we do it naturally, because we come from Mars and women come from Venus, what we do when we do buy our wives gifts is a Mars gift and not a Venus gift. What's the chiluk? Chiluk is the following. Men by nature are very, very goal-oriented. Men by nature look at tachlis. So, if you bought me a... if you bought me a old sasemes in the old print, you know, like some when I get a gift from a Talmud. So if he buys one of those old prints, I'm like, that's a Shana Aleph mistake, not a Shana Bet mistake. By now, he's supposed to know that there's a new printing of the Sefer. Of course, we're appreciative, but at the end of the day, there's also something behind. We look at gifts as being tachlis. Can I use it or can I not? Women are not like that at all. For women, gifts are something that the goal of the gift is not so important, but rather is the gift itself. Let me read you something from that very, very important book, Men Are From Mars. Here he says it very well, chapter 10, I just want to find it. The name of the chapter, I have a hasaga on it, but the name of the chapter is Scoring Points with the Opposite Sex. A man thinks he scores high with a woman when he does something very big for her, like buying her a new car or taking her on a vacation. He assumes he scores less when he does something small, like opening the car door, buying her a flower, or giving her a hug. Based on this kind of score, he believes he will fulfill her best by focusing his time, energy, and attention into doing something large for her. This formula, however, doesn't work because women keep score differently. When a woman keeps score, no matter how big or small a gift of love is, it scores 1 point. You know, so many times I look at, after it took me 10 years to realize this in marriage. 10 years. But after the last few years, every once in a while I'll buy my wife some silly tchotchke. And every once in a while, I look at all the tchotchkes that are sitting on the side that she's long forgotten about. And I say to myself, if only I would, you know, pile together all the money for buying each of those tchotchkes, I could have gotten her something that's really, really, like, worth something. Something that's going to... But that's a kruma svara in Venus. In Venus, that svara is not going to work. Because it's the thought of buying her that gift which is the most critical. It's not the chalos of the gift. It's the feeling that the husband showed his wife that he thought about her. Just to call her up and tell her that you thought about her is the biggest present that you could give her. You'll ask a kasher from the diamond ring, it's not a kasher. And the reason why it's not a kasher, really, in Svaras Venus, why is it not a kasher? Why is the diamond ring not a kasher? Because the diamond ring shows that you are showing her that she's worthy to be married. But if it would have been that it would be a piece of charcoal, that every other girl who's worthy of getting married would get a piece of charcoal, she would throw out the diamond ring and take the piece of charcoal. It's not the money. And if it is the money, then there's simon that something's corrupt. It's not the money. It's the thought. But the diamond ring shows that you are elevating her to the point that this is the woman that you want to spend the rest of your life with. It's not the diamond per se. So that's Nekuda Aleph. Chazal are bringing out that we have to take a tremendous amount of time and thought thinking about what it is that's going to speak to her, that's going to give her simcha. Why all of a sudden that becomes our chiyuv is an interesting question. It's our chiyuv to buy for her. She should have to worry about herself. We'll get to that in a moment, of course. I just want to point out that there's a tremendous shortcoming in... It bothers me very much, though, the way John Gray, even though it's a fantastic book, it bothers me very much the way he presents this. What was the title of the chapter? The title of the chapter was Scoring Points of the Opposite Sex. The title of the chapter was How Do You Win Her Over? That is connected to the whole Mahalach of Torah. It's not about winning her over. It's not what it's about at all. It's about is properly taking care of her. The whole mitzvah of Onah is all about being the Sameach, one's wife. It's about taking care of her. And there are many reasons why that giving is so important. Rav Dessler has, of course, a beautiful maimer in his Kuntres HaChesed about why it's so important to be a giving person. But let's just not even take Rav Dessler's Musar Mahalach. We won't even talk a Kabbalistic Mahalach. At the end of the day, the reason, you know why you have to give and give and give and give, and it's not about scoring points? You know, you have to give and give and give and give, because what's going to come out from the both of you, Mirza Hashem, is a child who, in his or her beauty, that little child is a parasite. And all you're going to give for the rest of your life is going to be to give and give and give. And the moment that you try to take from them is the moment that you're no longer being chas v'chalila a parent. And parents that try to take from their children ultimately are not being the way parents were meant by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be. And it starts off already as a fetus in that way. They take everything from the mother, to the point that if a mother is not getting proper nutrition, all the nutrition will first go to the fetus, and the mother will be the one who will be malnutrition. The fetus won't be initially malnutrition. It will start with the mother. And chas v'chalila, there's such a lack, such a deficiency of nutrition, that there isn't enough even for the fetus, so then both of them will become malnutrition. But first, the fetus serves as a holy parasite, taking everything from its mother. So this whole mahalach, this is where the crookedness of secular culture comes in. This whole idea of looking at this nekuda v'emes, that women have totally different needs and totally different desires, comes the idea of where men are all trying to get for themselves. That's the crooked part. But the yisod is emes. The yisod is definitely true. But Rabosai, this reflects a much, much deeper issue. It's not only about gifts. It reflects something that is much more central to our relationships with our wives. And it reflects something that is at the core of the success of marriage, and that is communication. Often a woman will come home after a tough day, one's wife will come home, and she'll say, I had a very, very hard day. And the husband, really sincerely, we're not talking about a husband who's distracted. He's either thinking about the Tosfos or thinking about the movie or the ball game from the night before. Either way, both are essentially the same problem in this nekuda. Not to equate them chas v'chalila, but in this nekuda, whether he's thinking about the Tosfos or the ball game, it's not going to work. When a wife says, there's something that's on my mind, we have to do everything we can to focus on what it is that's on her mind. So she'll say, what happened today was, it was just impossible. First of all, the babysitter came late. My boss thought that I was coming an hour earlier. And the guy is sitting there, the husband is sitting there, and he says to her, I have an idea for you. I think every morning you should call the babysitter to make sure that she, just to find out when she's coming. Or he says to her, maybe you should change your schedule. And she says to him, you're not listening to me. He says to her, what do you mean? I'm listening to you. I have a solution. And then before long, she's crying. Now what happened? What just happened over here? You were listening. You were listening fine. You were listening perfectly. But what happened? What broke down?
Mr. Fixer.
So what happened is that we from Mars, because we are tachlis oriented, so then when we hear a problem, and when we discuss problems with each other, I call Tzvi up, I want to speak to him. Usually it's because I have something that's on my mind. I want to hear what his solution is. He calls me up, he wants to speak to me, because there's something on his mind, he wants some advice. And it's not only a Rebbe Talmud relationship, that's a male relationship. That's how they discuss things on Mars. But because, for a woman, the emphasis is not the tachlis, the emphasis is not the goal, but it's the emotion that she's experiencing at that particular time, all she wants to do, most of the time, is be heard. By her, be heard, but not stam heard by a therapist, chas v'chalila. Not therapist is sometimes necessary. But not by a therapist. She wants to be heard by someone who loves her. And she just wants to feel that the person who loves her also understands what she did. So many times, all you have to do, I remember when I was in graduate school, it was almost comical. I watched our professor was really, to an extreme, was into Rogerian psychology. Carl Rogers was a famous psychologist who spoke about the client-centered approach. And his system of therapy, I thought was like, it's great. You know, you get $300 an hour for doing almost nothing. What do you do? What does the therapist do? Therapist sits across from the client, and the client said, you know, I had an awful, awful day today. And the therapist will say, I hear you're saying that things are really tough. And then the client will say, yeah, my boss was absolutely impossible today. And the therapist will shake his head and he'll say, you know, bosses could really be difficult sometimes. And that's the whole, and it goes on for an hour. I watched it on, you know, in the library in Columbia. I was like stunned. This is therapy? But yes, in a way, there is a tremendous value in it. And that is that the therapist knows how to fake it, that he really cares, or he happens to be a Rebbe that really, really has compassion for the Talmud, or he is a husband that really, really cares about how his wife feels, so then that could be, for someone, that could be tremendously fulfilling that there's someone who cares and loves about you who's listening to you. And that's what you have to do in those cases. When it's a tough day, when she came home with a tough day, the odds are she's not looking for a solution. And if you have a solution, then usually the best way to go is just listen to her out, do Carl Rogers, and then 2 days later, maybe offer the solution. And it's very, very hard to hold back. Get a stomachache. But it's worth the stomachache and hold back. So the Madrega of Simcha that Chazal are giving us, Madrega number one of Usmachtem, is for a person, number one, to think about inside what truly is Misameach them, think about what's Misameach their spouse, and of course, why does it start with the spouse? Because the Rambam writes a very, very powerful line in Hilchos Yom Tov, U'kishu ocha v'shosa chai v'hachil l'ger li'asam v'almana. One has to share one's Simcha with others. Something is very, very important. But someone who doesn't, the Rambam writes, Ein zu simchas mitzvah, ela simchas kreisa. It's one of the most powerful lines of all the Rambam. The Rambam says that a person who doesn't share his simcha with others, then who said that that's called simcha altogether? If a person is so self-absorbed, can't think about what his wife needs, can't think about what his children need, then ultimately he won't be able to think about the ger and the yasam and the amana, and ultimately that person has not experienced simcha at all. It might be a spiritual context, but that's not simcha. That's simcha's kreisa. And it starts, l'aniyus daiti, it starts that madrega of simcha being mesameach ta'aniyim starts first with being mesameach our wives and children. If a person hasn't reached that madrega, that's why they say in the yeshivas, the first year, not to have too many guests. What's the chat behind it? I'm not so rigid. I think that you can sometimes have guests, but the svara behind what they're saying is that you first have to internalize how you're going to be mesameach your wife. Then you're ready to go on and be mesameach others. But that's the first madrega. But there's more to Simchas Yom to Shaitan Pasuk Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yomim. It says Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, there's another madrega. Madrega number two is the madrega of Sukkis of Lefnei Hashem. Mirtz Hashem, in a month from now, we'll be able to attain that madrega of Lefnei Hashem. How did Chazal understand that Lefnei Hashem? Chazal understood it as referring to Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Mikdash. What's unique about Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Mikdash? If I'm not mistaken, the only two places that we have the notion of dancing in Halacha is Ketzem Rakim Lefnei Akala, and as well, the Rikud of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Those are the two times that dancing appears in halachic parlance as a halachic mandate. If I've missed something, please let me know. What's the significance of Rikud Dafka in the Mikdash Lefnei Hashem? What's that dancing in Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Dancing feels good. We intuitively understand there's something spiritual, but what is it about Sukkot and Rikud? Why Sukkot and Dafka Rikud? Chasna Kala will leave for another time. So if you number one. Number two, what we need to understand in the second Madrega is the Amkus of Mitzvah Sukkah. what is the depth of mitzvah sukkah? At the end of the day, most mitzvahs asay demand some type of spiritual context, some type of mesiras nefesh in mitzvah asay. So for gemilas chasad, then we have to put our needs aside and think of somebody else. For mitzvah shofar, that's supposed to ma'or tefillah and tshuva. But what's sukkah? L'man yedu doroseichem? How's it l'man yedu doroseichem? What is it? How does the average Jew in America celebrate sukkahs? He goes inside the sukkah and he eats, and if it's not too cold, he sleeps, and that's it. How's that a spiritual mitzvah? So come along the Balei Chassidus and Balei Musar, and they all emphasize the following. Sukkahs is the Bechina, l'man yedu doroseichem, that we are sitting in the Anani HaKavod, and that everything we do could be inside the Anani HaKavod. Eating and sleeping. Yes, eating and sleeping is Avodas Hashem. And with our entire Ramathei Borim Shesad Gidim, every single one of them, with all of our Yitzrei Hara, all of our Netios for Gashmias, we could take every single part of it and elevate it into Lifnei Hashem. It could be done in the Anani HaKavod. Now, there's one caveat. You need Yom HaKippurim before that. Yom HaKippurim has Lifnei Hashem Titaru. First, a person has to subjugate his Yetzer, deny his Yetzer to the point that he raises himself up to a Malach, that he's not Ochel Visho, so he's Mamish a Malach, and he first experiences Lifnei Hashem in an abnormal way. He exists in a universe that he really doesn't belong in. He's an angel for one day, because he really doesn't belong in that world. And once he's created that context of being able to pull back from his Yetzer, so then he's going to possibly, not for sure, not certainly, but he'll possibly be able to elevate all of his chomrius and avodas Hashem. And that's the Lifnei Hashem of the Sukkah of the Anani HaKavod. It's interesting, Yom HaKippurim is one day, and Sukkah is the 7 days. In Kabbalah, seven is Kol HaKol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in seven days. So the Yom HaKippurim is that exaggeration, that subjugation of all of his titles. But then, during Sukkah, is the elevation of those Chomrios, to the point that it could actually be experienced b'toch Anani HaKavod. Of course, based on this, we can now be masbir the idea of Rikud dafka in Sukkot. Rikud is the Ramathei Borim LeShesag Yidin. Every single component of the body, kol atzmosai tamarna, in Avodas Hashem, lifnei Hashem, in the Mikdash. So Madrega number two is not just simcha, to be misameach oneself in finding the proper ruchnius dikei conduit. Not only to be misameach one's wife and children properly with a lot of cheshbon and nefesh. Not only to be misameach v'aniyim, but also that the simcha should be a simcha which is mamish lifnei Hashem, and lifnei Hashem could actually be done through the ruchnius and the gashmius combined. Of course, Rabbi Yoshe Ber had a beautiful var, Tosfos and Brachos on the Yud Aleph on the Beis, asks, how is it that we could make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning and then go on for the rest of the day and not come back until much later for those who are not Zoche to sit and learn the whole day and not have to make a new Birchas HaTorah? If after all, at the end of the day, it's a big hefsek. He went to work. He didn't learn the whole time. And Tosfos and Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis has the following answer to that question, and the Rav gave a beautiful hesber to the Tosfos. Tosfos and Brachos says that the person doesn't need to make a new Berachas HaTorah because he's not miyayesh from the Torah. What did Tosfos mean? It's not Eilu Masiyas. What does Tosfos mean he's not miyayesh? So the answer of Tosfos is the following, the Rav explained. When a person is not miyayish in the Torah, it means that every single component of his corporeal existence he sees through the prism of Torah. Rav Yifrach told me that one of the mashalim that's given is he's like a mother who sends off his child who sends off her child to school. The father, when he sends off the child to school, then he forgets about him. The mother is constantly throughout the day still thinking, latent in everything else that she's doing. Going off to work, cleaning the house, making supper. The child is always in the back of her mind. So too, the entire day, the entire human experience, the entire corporeal experience, the Midtown Manhattan experience is all seen through the prism of Torah. Now that's very much relevant to us as well. Right now, Baruch Hashem, this vart is a vart that needs to be said over in the shuls of Manhattan, but also applies to us as Chevrei HaKol in Yerushalayim as well. And the reason for that is the following. So many of us are guilty of something that initially we'll deny. I would deny it as well, initially. When we think about it, we're very, very guilty of it. And that is, how much of our existence do we look at as Avodas Hashem? I catch myself all the time of looking at learning and davening as being Avodas Hashem. And every once in a while, speaking with the Talmidim. But that's it. That's Avodas Hashem. Everything else is a hindrance to Avodas Hashem. Everything else is just, it comes from a good place, right? Because we want to be back in the day so much. We want to be learning. We want to be davening. We want to be doing a little bit of chesed. But everything else is a hindrance to Avodas Hashem. And Rabosai, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that the Ranach Evarim and the Shisa Gidim, every component of our life, be Avodas Hashem. And it's not easy. It takes years and years and years to get one iota of direction that our achila should be slightly ruchnius. One iota of direction that our tashmish amita should be ruchniustik. It takes a long, long time. It's not something that's just going to happen overnight. And it's not about subjugating the yetzer, but it's about elevating a tiny, tiny bit our component of all components of our being to Avodas Hashem. Look in the parsha of Talmud Torah itself. What's the parsha of Talmud Torah itself? The parsha of Talmud Torah is, as we say in Kriyishma, and only one of them is B'shiftecha B'veisecha. The only place that I can find a reference to the Beis HaMedrash is B'shiftecha B'veisecha. So maybe you could kind of, that means the Beis HaMedrash. It probably doesn't even mean the Beis HaMedrash. It probably means your house also. But for those guys who are too frum to learn at home and are only willing to learn the Beis HaMedrash, so let's tie it up. B'shiftecha B'veisecha is only referring to the Beis HaMedrash. Probably doesn't. But then there are three other components. And that is U'lechtecha V'derecha V'shachtecha V'kumecha. And that is that we are responsible to look at our whole day through the prism of Torah, even when we left the Chavadah. Now, it can't always be that we're actively thinking and learning, but rather it's seeing the world through the lenses of halachic man. And that's through sometimes not only actively learning, but looking at the entire human condition as being a process of Avodas Hashem. So that's Madrega number two of Lufnei Hashem. Lufnei Hashem doesn't only mean literally the way Chazal understand it as being in the Mikdash, but Lufnei Hashem in Sukkos also refers to elevating the Ramach Evarim Shisah Gidim, and it also refers to this Yisod that we saw from Rabbi Yashaber. Ramash Shmuel points out that there's a third Madrega of Simcha on Sukkos. And that Madrega is not only Lufnei Hashem, but it's the Madrega of Shmini Atzeres, ultimately after we internalize the first two Madregas, and that is, in his Lashon, Im Hashem. Of course, the well-known Yaakov Shimoni, V'kimun sheyotzu shiva simei achag, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Achshav ani v'atem nismach yachad, Ve'eni matriach aleichem harbe ele parach v'ayalachad. After the Umos Olam leave, during the 7 days of Sukkot, which is a celebration of the entire world, the Yaakov Shimoni says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you and I are going to celebrate. But what's the Lashon of the Yaakov Shimoni? Ani v'atem nismach yachad. Yachad. Up until now, the Simcha was Lufnei Hashem. There's another Madrega of Simcha. That is not someone who's Nisameach Lufnei Hashem. He's Mekadosh Ramach Evarim Shisah Gidin. Both the B'chinas Yom HaKippurim and the B'chinas Sukkos. But a lot of those people, Yom HaKippur mentioned, Sukkos mentioned, but they're not Shmini Atzeres mentioned. What does it mean to be a Shmini Atzeres man? What it means is to be someone who has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not everybody who's Lefnei Hashem is Im Hashem. What does it mean to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's actually very, very easy. But so many, I see in yeshiva, so many Talmidim, great Talmidim, get stuck at Shlav Shtayim. They get stuck there, and they don't go up to the third Madrigal. And it's actually so easy, but it requires a certain change in cognitive approach, spiritual cognitive approach. And that is to realize that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a bi-directional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not only us serving in front of Him or being Misameach in front of Him and utilizing all of our Machavarim Shisagidim, but it's also to realize it should be so easy to internalize because it's such a good piece of news, but for many, many people it's so hard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Misameach with you. Ani va'atem nismach yachad. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is misameach with you. And so many people don't internalize that. So many people are stuck at the Madrega where they feel, okay, I'm working so hard in Avodas Hashem, but they never get past to the point to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is also rejoicing with them and not only they with that Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's our Magef of our Dar. The Magef of our Dar is a Magef of self-esteem. And that constantly we find that our Talmidim are flagellating themselves, mamish killing themselves over their shortcomings, instead of realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish misameach with every single bit that they've done. Piskuli Pesach Shamachat V'Aniachtach L'cha Pesach Shalom. I'm saying Dvarim Pshutim, but these Dvarim Pshutim are, we see, are halachic categories. They're not just nice shmuzim that are said at Chassidus Shetishim. These are halachic categories. This is Shmini Atzeres. And just to realize it, and I was thinking to myself, but wait a second, I don't see it with the chevra here in the kolom. I don't see it, this is so much of an issue. But then I had a pircha on myself. If I see it so much in the Talmidim, in Shana Bet, Shana Gimel, so what happened in those 3-4 years after when they get married, there's got to be residue of that there. There's no way. Even though Baruch Hashem, you come across as being a confident group. But there's got to be residues of this Magefa. There has to be. And we have to realize that as much as we know Adam Yodea Maris Nasho, every single one of us knows our shortcomings, and they're great, and they're significant. But at the same time, there are also tremendous things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nesameach with us. Tremendous, tremendous things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices with us. And the only way we could reach the Madrega of Shmini Atzeres is to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also rejoicing with us. That Reb Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, remember, Moshe Shmuel Shapiro is a real Litvak. He's a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. So he's the Brisker Rav star Talmud. That Reb Moshe Shmuel says, for those of you who are wary of Chassidus Shetayim, that Reb Moshe Shmuel says is Madrega number 3 in Simcha in Avodas Hashem. Obviously, I added a little bit of meat to what the structure that he was creating, but essentially, Reb Moshe Shmuel is bringing this idea. What's Madrega number 4 of Simcha? Madrega number 4 of Simcha, the highest Madrega of Simcha, is the Madrega of Simcha as expressed in Simchas HaTorah. Where do we get this from? In the Torah, there's no mention of Simchas Torah. It's a late rabbinic enactment. Late. I just read a quote that Reb Chaska Levenstein said, he doesn't know what's dearer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yom HaKippurim in Yeshivas Panovich or the Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah has tremendous, tremendous kochos of Lachmias. Well, he could be medayik that he wasn't saying that Simchas Torah is greater than Yom HaKippurim, only meant to say was that our Yom HaKippurim versus Simchas Torah. Our Yom HaKippurim doesn't reach that Madrega, but they say that during the days of Chaska Levenstein, Simchas Torah was something that was beautiful to the point that all the boys were crying in joy when they were dancing. This is 50 years ago in Panovich. What's this higher Madrega of Simchas Torah? So there's a beautiful and fascinating Maaser Rav from the Gra that's written in Hilchos Sukkos, where they describe the Gra with diyukim in every component of the Gra's disposition. I want to add that there's something also a tremendous mussar that I see from this Maaser Rav. The Maaser Rav is medayek from the different levels of simcha that the Gra had on Sukkis, Shana Rabba, Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah. And it describes that the Gra on Simchas Torah, when the Sefer Torah was out, the Gra used to dance with Kol Oz, with all of his energy, and then when they put the Torah back into the Aron, so then the Gra's Simcha began to subside to the point that it was the Madrega of the regular Simcha. Now first, an editorial note. You see the godless of the Gra, and the godless of the Talmidim of the Gra, that when the Gra was Mesameach, so then every nuance of the Gra was discernible. Every change in the Gra's demeanor to the Talmidim was discernible. You know, I see that by a much, obviously, smaller level, but I see it by Rav Nevinson. I could tell the different Madregas, and I'm not, and I've only been Zocha to spend the last 3 or 4 years in them, so the people who know them better than me. I could tell the different Madregas how much he likes the Shtickel Torah that's said over, how he feels about a particular circumstance, and he barely says anything. But I know that there is, he says he'll say Yashir Koach, or a double Yashir Koach. And every once in a while you get a triple Yashir Koach from him. And he has a different type of smile for different circumstances. And then every once in a while he'll ask you how someone is, and that's like, that means something tremendous. He never asks about anything. But when he asks about someone, that's a simon that he's really getting in to that person's matzav, if he asks, because he hardly ever asks. The Gedolei Torah, everything they do is so methodical. It's not just stam, oh, how are you doing, what's up? Everything that they do is so discernible. Everything that they do has a mashmos. So the Gra, also, everything he did during Sukkot had meaning to the Talmidim. And it's not like the Talmidim were making a diuk that wasn't there. Everything the Gra did was absolutely precise. So Rav Moshe Shmuel asks, what is it about the Gra that when the Sefer Torah went back, his simcha went down? So he says it seems that there is a fourth Madriga of simcha. As the Medrash describes, on Shmini Atzeres, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshcheni acharefa narutz, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Heviani HaMelech HaDorov, Megila v'nismecha bach. Medrash darshins b'chaf beis os yoshev Torah. Simchas Torah, we're supposed to rejoice with the 22 letters of the Torah. What does it mean to rejoice with the 22 letters of the Torah? Why is it referred to as bach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, we're supposed to rejoice with him, inside of him. The lashon bach is a very, very strange lashon, says Rav Moshe Shmuel. The pshat is that we're rejoicing with the Torah that's inside of us. People think that Simchas Torah is the rejoicing of Kavod HaTorah from the Gra. There are other veritah from the Gra. It's clear that the actual rejoicing is the Torah that's become a part of us. And that's the highest Madrega of Simcha. The highest Madrega of Simcha is when a person doesn't rejoice Lefnei Hashem, doesn't rejoice Im Hashem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a secondary component. He rejoices with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's inside of him. As Nefesh HaChaim writes in Perek Aleph, the way we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have El Chelek El Kamimal, is with Torah. The Torah that becomes a part of us, not the Daf Gemara that we did once, but the Torah that's become mamish, a part of us, that's what we're rejoicing with in Simchas Torah. That's Nagil v'nismecha bach, b'chaf beis osios shevet Torah. I wanted to add, based on what Moshe Shmuel Shapiro says, he answers another question in the beautiful words in Shir HaShirim, Moshteni acharecha narutza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dragged me after you, narutza, we will run it. It's in the singular and then in the plural. Moshteni is in the singular, narutza is us in plural. What's pshat? All the Mefarshim ask. What's pshat? In the singular, then in the plural. But according to this Mahalath, it's beautiful. Moshcheni HaKadosh Baruch Hu dragged me after you with my chelik in Torah. Narutza, all of us are running after you. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls, and then narutza, then we all run together.
Every single one of us has our chelik in Torah that we are kohen in the chaf beis osiyot sheb Torah. Every single one of us has that chelik. And that's the simchas haTorah. So now the madrega is gone. The madregos have gone in the following way. First, the person has to have the hodah of bikurim. That's the first step. To even start going into simcha. Then a person has to hit the basic level of simcha where he thinks about what he needs. Both in Ruchnis and in Gashmias. But that's not enough. That simcha's kreisof. He's not thinking about his wife, his children, the almanas, that's not going to work. Then, after that madrega, you reach the madrega of the unique madrega of Sukkos of Lifnei Hashem. After that, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu is distinct from him. There's Im Hashem. It's mamish rejoicing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here we come full circle. The final madrega of simcha is not even Im Hashem. It's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's inside of you. They're no longer two distinct entities. The individual becomes one with Kutcher Brichu, becomes one with his source. And in that way it's full circle, because the simcha originally started out trying to understand yourself. And once a person really goes through all those steps, then ultimately he's Kona HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of him. And that's what we have in both in Chassidus and in Nefesh HaChaim, the idea of the Isha Lukus. That a person actually actualizes the neshama that's inside of him. So what emerges then is the Chaf Beis Osir Sheb Torah is your kinyan in Torah. And everybody else's kinyan in Torah is different. Just like his simcha that he starts out with in Darga number one is different, then every person's kinyan in Torah is different. Of course, the well-known Maisa with the Rebbe Reb Zusha, where the Rebbe Reb Zusha was said over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask why I'm not Eli Melech, but why was I not Zusha? And every single one of us has to ask ourselves, if we're reaching that chelek of the neshama that's inside of us, both ben adon chaver, with our spouses, as well as with our own kochos. I'll tell you a story. I was just talking to a Talmud today. This happens day in and day out. You could have caught me yesterday and it would have been a similar story as well. Right before I came here to the Kollel, so I was talking with a Talmud, and the Talmud has the following issue. When we read the Tosos in Shir, so then I say over Tosos' Kasha and Teretz, and the Talmud says, after you say over the Kasha and Teretz, he's a very bright boy, very bright boy. All-American, great athlete, great looking. He has everything going for him. Everything and nothing. He says, after you read the Tosas Kasha and Teretz, I didn't understand Tosas Kasha and Teretz that way. And he says, after that, I can't listen to anything else. The only thing I could do is put my head down. So why? He said, because I see that I didn't understand Tosas Kasha the exact same way that you understood it, and the Teretz the same way. I saw that I didn't understand it 100%. So I get too frustrated. What's this Talmud, this dear Talmud? He has the component of perfectionism to him. Everything has to be 100%. He has to be 100% on the ball. Otherwise, if he didn't get it right, then that's it. Then he's a failure. Might as well just, close the Gemara. And he's a very bright boy. He's very capable. It's the second year learning in Eretz Yisrael. I had another Talmud who was very similar to this a few years ago. It was even more striking. And this Talmud, from Johnny's year, I don't think you'll figure him out, so I can tell you, it's from Johnny's year in Yeshiva. This Talmud had I always felt that he wasn't reaching his potential. 6 months into the Zman, so then I happened to have been sitting by Malcolm and I opened up his notebook. And he had a beautiful notebook. One of those, fancy, from straight from Mariah at the Kotel, one of those Chidushei Torah, where you have the leather bound. Beautiful, beautiful notebook. And I opened up, sheer out. And he has in perfect handwriting, he has the Mishnah, he starts with the Mishnah, Tosis is Kasha, and 7 lines in it stops. And I knew I don't do that much, but I knew I did a little more than that. Okay, I turn to the next page, sheer base. Starts out beautifully. Gemara's Kasha, the Ritva's Diuk in the Gemara. And then it stops. I remember that shir, but what about the kasha and the ritva and the Rabbanan's raya? Where'd it go? It's gone. Shir gimel. Every day he starts out
And it's beautiful, beautifully neat, and then he stops. So I went over to the Talmud, and I said to him, what happened? What happened? It's beautiful. He said to me, yeah, I was writing, and I understood the deal of the Ritva. And then, when you asked that kasha, then something I didn't understand, so I stopped writing. What's going on in those Talmud? These are beautiful Talmud, fantastic boys. What's going on inside? You know what's going on? What's going on is they're saying, I'm not understanding the whole shir. I'm not getting 100% of the shir. That's it. Time to close the beautiful notebook. But that means what they're demanding from themselves is not to be themselves. They're demanding to be something else. The highest madrega of simcha is being misameach with the Torah that's your chelek in Torah. Anything else to be doresh from yourself, to have yenim's chelek in Torah, is not the same chokeinu v'sarasacha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmayim, that we should be able to actualize our chelek in Torah, and by actualizing our chelek in Torah, we'll actualize all four steps of simcha, starting out with the simcha satsmi, being misameach others, the first madrega of simcha, second madrega of simcha being misameach with Hashem, im Hashem, and then ultimately the cha, the gilvanis machabach, and Kodesh Baruch Hu that's mamish inside of us.